Well, once again, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the founder of the Institute of Biblical Defense and the academic dean of Farrison Theological Seminary. Today's lecture is our final lecture on eschatology, End Times Lecture number 12, and we'll be discussing the afterlife, the new heavens and new earth. But we're going to also discuss the idea of heaven and hell, since there are many false views that are being thrust upon us by people like the Jehovah's Witnesses and other characters. Take a look at Revelation chapter 21. Well, we gave an overview of the tribulation period and talked about some of the end time judgments, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. The falling away from the faith, the apostate church, the end time false church. We talked about the two witnesses who may be Moses and Elijah prophesying the last half of the tribulation period. We talked about the 144,000 Jews who would be sealed on their foreheads by God and protected throughout the tribulation period. We talked about the revived Roman Empire, the United States of Europe, the revived Roman Empire that's going to rule the world in the last days, and the man who's going to rule them is the Antichrist, the demon-possessed man who will rule the world. He'll apparently have a false resurrection where he receives a mortal head wound but recovers from it, then sits down in the temple in Jerusalem and proclaims himself to be God and demands worship. We talked about his right-hand man, the false prophet, who performs many miracles in his presence and then demands that people accept the mark of the beast, the 666, either on their forehead or on their right hand. We talked about the end-time wars, World War III, the Soviet, the Russian invasion of Israel, and then finally the Battle of Armageddon, when all nations battle against the nation of Israel. They march on Jerusalem in an attempt to wipe out the Jewish people. But then we talked about the return of Jesus Christ after the tribulation period, when the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light and the stars fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens are shaken. At that point, Jesus Christ will return in power and in glory, riding a white stallion with all his angels riding white stallions behind him. He'll return and gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the next. And there'll be the loud sound of a trumpet blast. And then he'll return and he'll defeat the armies that are marching on Jerusalem. He will then set up his thousand-year reign on earth. And he'll rule during the Millennium Kingdom, when the kingdom of God has come to earth. During that time, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, Satan will be released. He'll lead those who grew up during the Millennium Kingdom that have decided to reject Jesus Christ and not to trust in him for salvation. They'll march on Jerusalem in an attempt to knock off Jesus Christ. But at that point, Jesus Christ will defeat them and throw them into the lake of fire and brimstone, what we commonly call hell. And that leads us to our next point, and that is the new heavens and new earth. Let me read the last verse of Revelation 20 so we pick up the context. It's at the great white throne judgment, and it reads, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the flames of hell await you. The only escape from the flames of hell is through the cross of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as your God and Savior. Now what I'm going to do now, and by the way, we're probably only going to have, if everything goes right, we're going to just try to have about a 20-minute lecture here, just closing things up, tying things up. But let's take a look at the new heavens and new earth. I'd like to read the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. Starting in chapter 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. By the way, the first death is physical death. The second death is eternal spiritual death. Verse 9. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, Come here. I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. So it's cube shape. And he measured its wall, 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. That's real interesting that angelic measurements are the same as human measurements. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the city and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed. For they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the New Jerusalem, is this a literal city? I believe so. After all, we're going to have our resurrection bodies. We're not going to be bodiless spirits dwelling in void space. We're going to have bodies, and so I think that we're going to have a physical home. I believe heaven is a physical place, and the New Jerusalem, remember Christ said he would prepare a place for us. I believe New Jerusalem is it, and that he's going to bring this down to the earth after the Millennium Kingdom. In fact, some believe that it may hover over the earth during the Millennium Kingdom, and that believers, when we're reigning on earth at times, are going to be able to reside in the New Jerusalem as we're relieved of duties or whatever, if that be the case. We won't need rest, but it doesn't mean that God's not going to give us rest for enjoyment and recreation. Revelation 22. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life. You heard about it in Genesis. Adam and Eve decided not to eat from the tree of life, but to eat the tree of forbidden fruit. The tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse. We heard the curse in Genesis chapter 3. There shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have the need of the lamp, light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to them, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. And so that we see that despite the horrible tribulation that will come, despite the end time judgments, despite the falling away of the faith, despite a ruthless New World Order with a revived Roman Empire, despite the Antichrist and their false prophet, the mark of the beast, and despite the end time wars, we see that the Bible and mankind, the history of mankind, has a happy ending, where all tears will be wiped away, where all pain will cease, and where man will achieve his greatest desires, but only if he's recognized and trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And there's a lot of discussion going on. There's people in the New Age movement that say everyone is saved. That is unbiblical. There's others like the Jehovah's Witnesses who say, well, sure, only some people get saved, but those who don't get saved, they just get annihilated and cease to exist. That is also unbiblical. We need to see what the Bible says about heaven and hell, and first take a quick look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. So what we're discussing now is the afterlife. We're only going to spend about 5 to 10 minutes on this, and we'll close up our course on eschatology, the doctrine of the end times, a little early. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He's talking about Christ now. And I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, John the Baptist says Jesus is going to either baptize a person with the Holy Spirit, or he's going to baptize you with fire. And then he explains what he means in verse 12. He says that those who get baptized with the Holy Spirit, Christ gathers them, the wheat, into his barn, but he takes the waste product, the chaff, and he burns it with unquenchable fire. In other words, heaven is where God dwells. God's going to gather us into believers into his barn. That's heaven. But unquenchable fire is hell. Now let's discuss real briefly heaven, and then real briefly we'll discuss hell. Heaven. Genesis 1:1 states, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth. Heavens is plural. There's more than one heaven. Now, the Mormon view of the different heavens is false. I'll give you the biblical view of the heavens. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, King David states, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. You see, the first heaven is the earth's atmosphere, with the cloud and the birds and all. And you have certain passages in the scriptures that talks about this first heaven and refers to it as heaven. And so you have the birds, the clouds. That's the earth's atmosphere. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is the starry sky, the outside the earth's atmosphere, the rest of outer space, the rest of the universe. That's the second heaven. The third heaven, however, is the throne room of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 to 4, the words of the Apostle Paul. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. And so the Apostle Paul goes on to talk about this. We find a little later that he's talking about himself. But the Apostle Paul said that he was caught up to the third heaven. That's the throne room of God, paradise. So the heaven that we're talking about is the third heaven, is the throne room of God, God's dwelling place. Very, very important. And so you have the first heaven, the earth's atmosphere, the second heaven, the rest of what we call the universe, and the third heaven, the throne room of God. Now take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 to 21. Well, in fact, first take a look at John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. John 14, 1 to 3. And that reads, Jesus speaking, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, heaven is God's dwelling place. To be in heaven means to be with Jesus. And the day is going to come when God is going to gather all believers to be with his Son. Now look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. And that reads, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The Bible teaches that no wicked person will enter the kingdom of God. Now, we all have a certain element of wickedness. How is our wickedness going to be dealt with? How can we get rid of this wickedness that separates us from God? How can we get rid of this wickedness that will keep us from the kingdom of God? Let me read the same basic passage in 1 Corinthians, another letter of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor the revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." The only thing that can take away the wickedness of man that keeps him from the kingdom of God is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is God's dwelling place. It is a place where there will be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more pain. But hell is a place where man deserves to go, and unless he trusts in Christ for salvation, he will enter there. So there will be no wicked person, no unsaved person in heaven. What about hell? What about hell? Look at Mark, Gospel of Mark chapter 9. Now hell is not to be mistaken with Hades. Hades is a temporary waiting place. It's a place of torment where not of conscious torment. We learn that from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Lazarus and the poor man, Lazarus the beggar and the rich man. Hades is a place of torment, but it's still a waiting place where you wait to be judged at the great white throne judgment and then to be thrown into hell forever and ever. Hades, the spirits are disembodied. They don't have their bodies any longer. But at the great white throne judgment, they're resurrected, the resurrection of the dead. They're resurrected after the millennial kingdom to be judged and then tossed bodily into the eternal lake of fire, the flames of hell. So there's a big difference between the temporary place of torment, Hades, and the eternal place of torment, Gehenna, or the lake of fire and brimstone. Look at what Christ says about Gehenna in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 to 48. The reason why Christ called it Gehenna was it was a valley just outside of Jerusalem, and it was a garbage dump. And the people of the city of Jerusalem would throw their garbage there, and they'd have somebody on duty 24 hours a day to keep the fires going. And all the garbage was worm-infested. It was horrible. There was worms crawling all over the place. And there was, the flames were always going, an unquenchable fire. Anytime the flames would start getting a little dim, they'd just light it back up. And so Jesus looked at Gehenna, pointed to it, and used that as an illustration of the flames of hell. So let's see what Christ said about hell referring to it as Gehenna. Mark 9:43-48. And if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, literally says Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell. Again, he says Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to stumble, cast it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. Again, he says Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You want a good description of hell? Just picture yourself with worms crawling all over you, devouring your flesh, and you're burning an unquenchable fire. You know, you just can't even imagine a person burning to death on fire. Just the horror and the pain that is. But it goes on and on. Eternal death means you're eternally dying, not that you die and cease to exist forever. Death theologically means separation, not annihilation. Physical death is the separation of the body from the spirit. Spiritual death is the separation of your spirit from God. Those who trust in Christ, Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. You come to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Those who trust in Christ, their thirst for God and their hunger for Him and their hunger for righteousness are satisfied. Those who burn in the flames of hell are eternally separated from God. There is no way that they can be saved from that point on. It means that they're going to eternally be thirsty and eternally be hungry. The rich man asked Lazarus to dip his finger in water just to give him one drop, and Lazarus said he could not because of the gulf. He could not pass from paradise to Hades, the temporary place of torment, waiting to be cast into the lake of fire. The tremendous unquenchable thirst and unsatisfiable hunger that meets people in the eternal flames of hell. Now, some people say, well, the flames are eternal, but the death is not eternal. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25. This is the sheep and goat judgment. And in verses 45 and 46, he states this. Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, there the eternal punishment means that you get destroyed, so you cease to exist for all eternity. But the thing is, if eternal life is eternal conscious life, if you're eternally conscious of the joy of eternal life, then eternal punishment also must mean eternal conscious punishment. In other words, if eternal life lasts forever, then the punishment of eternal punishment must also last forever. It's not something that is a one-time punishment and then you cease to exist for all eternity. Look at Revelation chapter 14. We're going to see in Revelation that it is talking about eternal conscious torment, not the ceasing to exist. Again, in Luke, we don't have time to turn there, but in Luke chapter 16, verses 19-31, the rich man was conscious of his suffering and his torment in Hades, the temporary waiting place, and he will also be conscious of his torment in the lake of fire and brimstone, Gehenna, what we commonly call hell. But look at Revelation chapter 14, verses 9-11. And another angel, a third one, following them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So there's no rest day and night forever and ever. They're tormented day and night forever and ever in the flames of hell. Look at Revelation 19 and verse 20. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And so there we see in this passage that the two of them would be thrown into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. Look at Revelation 20, verses 10 and 15. Look at verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Eternal torment. They don't get thrown into hell, burn up, and then cease to exist for all eternity, but they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Look at verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. All who are not believers are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. When you're thrown into the lake of fire, you're tormented day and night forever and ever. And then finally, one more verse, Revelation 21 and verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So I hope the point is real clear, that for those who go to hell, the afterlife will be eternal torment, conscious punishment, conscious suffering, and thirsting and hunger for all eternity. You get a lot of people who say, who cares about heaven or hell, I don't care less, and then these people cut school. Well, if you cut school because you can't stand a few hours of school, how are you going to be able to take the flames of hell forever and ever? And so a lot of people, they think they're cool, they think they're tough, they quit their job, they quit school, they do this and that, they can't take 5 minutes of displeasure, and they think that they're going to have no problem taking on the flames of hell. Sometimes I lift weights with guys and they can't stand even a little bit of pain. Well, you know, they say no pain, no gain. Well, if you can't stand a little bit of time, sometimes I used to box a little. If you can't stand getting a good right hand in the face, how are you going to stand the flames of hell? Now, I'm not recommending people go out and become boxers, but what I'm getting at is, man, well, we're a bunch of babies. We can't stand a little bit of pain, yet we act like it's not important whether we go to heaven or hell. What's more important is if I can get that, buy that, save up that money and buy a new car or whatever, this or that. And we fail to realize if you can't stand a little bit of pain, you know, you stick a guy with a straight pin and he screams. How is a guy going to be able to take that kind of suffering and torment forever and ever, knowing that every 10,000 years that he suffered, he's no closer to the end of his suffering than when he started? It never, ever ceases. The day that Christians, and by the way, Christ preached about hell more than he preached about heaven. The day that Christians fully grasp what hell is about is the day that every Christian will become an evangelist. If we could just wake up, if the church could just wake up and see how horrible hell is, we'd be literally begging people to accept Christ, rather than pushing people away, which is what we usually do. In closing, so there's just our discussion on heaven and hell. Again, we talked about an overview of the tribulation, the end times judgments, the Antichrist, false prophet, the end times wars, and the return of Christ. Just like to read two passages to close, passages we already covered in this lecture. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4, and then after that I'm just going to go right into verse 20 and close it with Revelation 22 and verse 20. So first Revelation 21, 1 to 4, and then Revelation 22, 20. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. He who testifies to these things says, Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is going to return to the planet Earth. Are you faithfully serving him? Are you going to be ready when he returns? This is our course on eschatology, the doctrine of the end times. Thank you, and God bless you.